This episode of The Master's Voice is brought to you in association with Republic Bangla, the new Bangla television news channel launched by Republic Media Network.
Namaskar. Etodin onek shojjo korechen apnara. Khoborer name ek peshe golpo. Karo line dhore chola noy. Apnar sob kotha, sob proshno ebar amader mukhe. Republic Bangla kotha hobe chokhe chokh rekhe.
Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pavan R. Chawla, and I have with me today a trusted authority and leader in digital advertising across the APAC region. Please join me in welcoming Sunny Nagpal, co-founder and managing director APAC of HTT Pool. Sunny, welcome to The Master's Voice. Really a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Pavan. Thank you for having me on The Master's Voice at Media Brief. It's really a pleasure to be speaking to you today.
Oh, the pleasure is entirely mine, Sunny, and I'm sure that of all the listeners of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. Thank you for being on the show. Before we continue, Sunny, allow me to do the honors of introducing you to the listeners of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. Sunny Nagpal is a serial entrepreneur and angel investor, a highly experienced digital advertising and marketing expert, and also the co-founder and managing director, APAC, of HTT Pool, one of the largest international partners for major global media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, and LinkedIn. As a digital growth specialist, he brings an innovative approach to product development and brand positioning. Under his leadership, HTT Pool has grown into a multi-million dollar regional enterprise. It has completed thousands of campaigns across various channels of digital media for hundreds of global brands across all industries, supporting all top agencies and the ecosystems at large in Asia Pacific. Sunny's forte lies in creating a regional footprint with India as a base, projecting capabilities of local resources and opportunities for cross-border integration. Under his strategic leadership, HTT Pool won the mandate to become the authorized sales partner for some of the largest global media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Quora, GrabAds, Dailymotion, Outbrain, TikTok, AccuWeather, Bukalapak, Opera, UC Web, AdWiz, GroundTruth, Adara, ZioTap, and Happn. Based out of Mumbai, today Sunny manages operations for HTT Pool in 11 markets of India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Philippines, Bangladesh, Hong Kong, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Laos, and is leading further expansion into Asia Pacific through additional market launches and partnerships. By bringing access to global platforms and best practices to the Asian advertiser, Sunny has successfully steered HTT Pool to become the leading player in the APAC region that connects global media platforms to their audiences and brands. In 2017, HTT Pool achieved a major corporate milestone when the Sony Pictures-led IMS acquired majority stake in HTT Pool Group, including the Asian operations. It was one of the most prominent M&A deals in the media and ad tech industry of the period, where Sunny played an instrumental role in realizing the shareholders' value and trust. So, Sunny Nagpal, co-founder and MD APAC of HTT Pool, is my very special guest on this episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend, Pavan R. Chawla. So, Sunny, to begin our chat, take us to the beginning. Tell us about how HTT Pool was formed. I think it was formed in 2002, right? If I'm not mistaken. So, just walk us through the formation of HTT Pool and its arrival in India.
Talking about time, I think past 10 years since we started HTT Pool in India, it's been a remarkable journey. And even before that, when the idea of HTT Pool was conceived by Alyosha and some of his friends in 2000 in Slovenia, the hypothesis then was to be in a position in major markets, in emerging markets across the globe, where there will be a very strong opportunity to be able to represent some of the largest major global media networks. I mean, our intention back then, I mean, it was, and I'm talking 2003 to 2005, when Facebook and Twitter didn't even exist. Our intention back then was to sort of create a complementarity to major global networks in most of the emerging markets across the globe. It started out of Eastern Europe and then expanded to Central Europe. And then in 2009-10, we sort of got together to set up a joint venture cooperation in India, which was the stepping stone to launching APAC operations for HT Pool. It's been a remarkable journey, as I must say. I'm really, really proud of what we've accomplished in past two decades as a group and in past 10 years in India and Asia Pacific expansion. And you know, times like these are a great opportunity to celebrate an anniversary and to look back, reflect upon what we have done and where we are going. And it's immensely sort of satisfying.
So before we go on to, you know, the starting of setting up of HTT Pool in India, tell me a bit about your background. You were in Slovenia at that time. So what were you doing there professionally then?
So I'm a computer engineer, and then I did a master's in management science. And I had been sort of supporting my dad in my family business since I was 14, 15. I started out in my first job at Times of India Group, you know, doing timesjobs.com, selling it in a city like Indore. Quite interesting, in 2005 in Indore, most of the organization were not even using internet, or the HR departments didn't even have computers. So I started selling them first computers, then internet connection, and then hiring online. So it was quite a journey, because, you know, and it gave me so much immense learning at that point, because it was like setting up TimeJobs. It was first few months of TimeJobs. I was one of the first 25-30 employees. Nobody had sort of sold anything like that in a market like Madhya Pradesh and in Indore. And for me, it was sort of setting up timesjobs.com in the region. They took me over to Mumbai to become a zonal manager, manage some of the market, some of the regions in Bombay West, as well as MP as well. And then I sort of moved to more core digital advertising with you know, Yahoo's ad network in Delhi. And then I had some short stints with Ibibo and Finstorm for their Singapore, Malaysia operations. And after that, I was hired in the core team for Burp, which was then acquired by Network 18. So put together, I had a work ex of about 5 years before, in 2009, I got acquainted with Alyosha, who is founder of HTT Pool. And he invited me over to Slovenia to discuss, because for me, you know, since 2007, I wanted to set up an ad network of my own. And I was looking for the right partners. I saw this opportunity back then. And it was only in 2009 that we managed to connect with HTT Pool. They had a very strong proprietary tech focused product, which was doing exceptionally well in Central Eastern Europe. And I might as well thought it would be a great opportunity to have them over in India as well at that point, and then lead them to other Asian markets, which were growing and following the direction. And also it helped in a way, because perceptionally, we have been following developed markets, and to be able to understand the curve much ahead in time, I could have given direction to the market here. And that's what happened. So 2009 summer, I flew down to Ljubljana. I didn't even know how to spell Ljubljana back then. I couldn't even speak looking at the spelling there. So it was lots of J's followed by L and B. So it was quite complicated. But it's a beautiful city, lovely experience, great people, extremely efficient. And we in the first instance, we realized that this is something that we wanted to do. There were common synergies, and therefore we agreed. And in 2010, we officially launched the company in India. And since then, we've been, you know, literally growing month on month.
Wow. So Sunny, when you decided to set up HTT Pool in India after tying up with your partners, what was the opportunity you saw in India at that time?
It was a nascency period for digital advertising, to be honest. There were a few large publications that everybody knew they could advertise upon. But at the same time, there was a plethora of many small or mid-size websites, which were not from India, which were foreign-owned, as well as so many regional advertising opportunities on various websites. And advertisers and agencies are finding it very difficult to get access to them, which is where, you know, I believed in the HTT Pool technology. It could sort of aggregate this mid-tail, long-tail supply and put targeting opportunities on top of it, and provide it on a single platter, single window to all top advertisers and agencies to be able to reach their local audiences on these opportunities.
Excellent. You are tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host, friend Pawan R. Chawla, and with me today is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director, HTT Pool Asia Pacific. We'll take a short break and come back very quickly. Stay tuned. This episode of The Master's Voice is brought to you in association with Republic Bangla, the new Bangla television news channel launched by Republic Media Network. And we are back. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla on The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. With me is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director of HTT Pool Asia Pacific. So, Sunny, what was the complete suite of services that HTT Pool India was offering way back when you started, you know, in 2009-10? And what has it changed to, evolved into, grown into today? There's been a complete sea change, as you know.
So, I mean, we always were, you know, trying to support the ecosystem as a service provider in a very complementarity position, in a very cooperational model, where we were trying to get publishers who were struggling to monetize their inventory, advertisers who were struggling to reach the right audience at the right price. We wanted to get everyone together and enable this ecosystem through use of technology and best practices. This was our core proposition back then. But you know how technology works. Technology becomes a commodity eventually. And we saw that happening to ad tech as well in 2010 to 2012. And we kept adapting our position, adopting ourselves to the market needs, to be closer to both the supply side, which is the publishers who own ad inventory, and, you know, be able to understand the demand side mechanisms. We took ad tech position, we took cross-channel ad network position. We realized in 2012 to 2014, when social media and mobile had become quite prominent, where agencies and advertisers were looking at things in a very linear fashion. Mm-hmm. One person for mobile, one for search, one for social. And they were having parallel campaigns across all these channels of digital advertising.
With a lot of wastage.
Yeah, and you know, we thought of sort of, it's the same user who's searching your ad, the same user who's browsing your ad on a news site, and is the same user who's probably on the social media sites as well, on Facebook and others. So we thought of advocating a cross-channel approach and proposed more integrated campaigns across all channels. And as soon as this became more like a best practice adopted by agencies and advertisers, we sort of started working more closely with the supply side and took the media representation position.
So you were a rare facilitator who was actually fair and close to both your buyers and your sellers.
Exactly. That's where we saw the opportunity, because there was no common points for buyers and sellers to be talking together upon. And, right. You know, you've seen these dynamics across all industries where buyers and sellers need an enabler. Either it is through a third person or a technology. In our case, we were able to bring both together, enable it through use of technology, as well as lend a lot of best practices to both buyers and sellers to execute the transaction.
And you've also been representing absolutely the best social media platforms, whether in the personal social or the professional social space. So tell me, when and why did this idea to take on such representation and offer that to the best platforms, when did this come in, and what was the reason behind it?
If you look at it now, our portfolio, we represent almost all of top 20 apps in the world. We represent Facebook in 11 markets as their authorized sales partners, 4 markets in Asia, 7 in Europe. We represent Twitter in about 40 markets across Asia, Europe, and Latin America. We represent LinkedIn in about 20 plus markets. So we started realizing around 2014 that most of these global media platforms were looking at partners to be able to provide localized service to their advertisers and agencies in each of the emerging markets. It was not feasible for these global media platforms to be able to set up shop and local standards as we could have done in a very short turnaround times. We started with Twitter in 2014 in Central Eastern Europe, and then that expanded to India and Asia as well in 2017. And we sort of started consolidating our position and became a preferred destination for all top media platforms to look at us whenever they had any need for going to emerging markets or markets beyond where their offices are not there.
Amazing. So, Sunny, what's your client's rota like?
We work with all top, 500 advertisers in India and across Asia for that matter. In 2019 alone, if I have to say, in Asia alone, we did close to 10,000 plus campaigns across all our partners. And we supported every top media holding, local agencies, tier 3 agencies, as well as top 100 brands and all torso and tail advertisers as well across all segments.
Wonderful.
You are tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pawan Chawla, and with me today is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director, HTT Pool Asia Pacific. We'll take a short break and come back very quickly. Stay tuned.
This episode of The Master's Voice is brought to you in association with Republic Bangla, the new Bangla television news channel launched by Republic Media Network.
And we are back. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla on The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. With me is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director of HTT Pool Asia Pacific. So, Sunny, today there are two major pitfalls in the programmatic space. One is the fraud, the willful fraud that happens in programmatic advertising through bots and farms and other such malpractices. And the second pitfall is, you know, what happens due to the ignorance of the custodian of performance-based marketing in the client's workspace. And also with the enabler, you know, the ad tech platform, like an HTT pool, for instance. Okay, so how do you battle this looming, large, still growing, and ever more threatening specter of fraud and all the criminal cheating that is happening in the programmatic space? And what is the guesstimated or estimated size and extent of the defrauding that's going on in the programmatic space? And how do you help your clients, your social media platform partners, advertisers, media buyers, how do you help them battle this and come out trumps?
So you pointed a very, very valid challenge that everybody's been grappling with in past years since the advent of programmatic, or for that matter, even before, when the inventory started getting traded on various ad platforms. The fraud came in. Google struggles with it. Any platform which is trading third-party inventories is going to struggle with it because they do not have control. So if I have to talk about HTT Pool, HTT Pool took a position of working directly with the media owners. So we are representing ad inventories of Facebook, of Twitter, of LinkedIn, which are primarily their own. For us, you know, we are selling it in the most transparent manner, and we are sort of providing some of the cleanest ad inventories available at this moment and the most premium ones. However, having said that, these platforms also have their audience networks where they're working with third-party channels. In case of protecting against fraud, they've been developing and deploying very sophisticated technologies and tracking mechanisms to be able to arrest such fraud at a very early stage and be able to then discharge it from its presence as early as possible. So for us, you know, we are sort of masked by these large platforms who have invested significantly, and we feel much more comfortable and confident in selling and bringing these inventories to our advertisers because they're supposed to be one of the cleanest ones in the market.
So Sunny, as someone who's actually enabled a lot of these ad exchange programmatic ways of digital marketing, which actually bring in a lot of salience and have reduced a lot of wastage for clients, etc. What is your view, your advice, your guidance for the industry to battle such waste and such fraud?
I think preaching ethics is recommended, but it is not the most feasible options, because you know, if there are people who've decided to do that, and this is not just in advertising. I mean, if you look at the world, there is other side of the coin always, right? Who have different preferences and different ways of working. And ethics is a relative term as such. So for us as an industry, I think the more prominence should be placed upon building measures and building infrastructure and technology to be able to prevent these, right at the tech level, at the ISP level, and then right through the ad inventory level. The technology is getting very sophisticated to be able to block these. Tech is the only answer, because you know, they're using tech to break our backbone. And for us, it is also important to use the same war field and protect our ground.
Absolutely.
You know, these things go away with transparency coming in. So the more transparent it becomes, the less traders are there in between, or less middlemen there are. It is going to create a more seamless flow of information, and therefore, you know, such practices can be prevented as well.
Right, right. But then what is it that will ensure a minimum level of transparency in the industry? Institutionalizing it. Is there any body or association? I mean, IAMAI is a really respected industry association, as is NASSCOM, and there are other bodies. So do you recommend that leaders and giants like yourselves should come together with the associations and drive the agenda of ensuring that there is a minimum tech kind of fail-safes built into battling programmatic waste and ad waste and fraud, okay? Is there a minimum code of conduct or some basic tech specifications that are basically required to be built into your platforms and exchanges so that everyone, at least on auto, has some modicum of, you know, programmatic ad fraud fight, the ability to fight ad fraud at the software level?
Absolutely, Pawan. I mean, all the organizations, IAMAI is doing a great job themselves, are sort of advocating and bringing all the platforms together to share knowledge, best practices, all the methodologies everyone is utilizing to, and everyone is doing something in their own capacity to prevent fraud, because leakages are not healthy for anyone. Ad waste in programmatic is one of the key aspects. It uses up the bandwidth, it's cost to the infrastructure, but it's not productive at all. This is over and above the frauds that happen. So there are a lot of initiatives being taken. The trade organizations are working towards this, in bringing all these initiatives and packaging all the best practices and sharing it back to all the other players. And the combat has to be together. The large players have to reinvest in technology, have to reinvest in sort of creating an infrastructure that is able to prevent such malicious acts. But I think it's going to be a long war here. But I think we are getting close to solving the problem much better. I mean, we are doing it much better than what we were doing even 2 years ago.
That's wonderful, really. And I think it needs to be done. Sunny, there's no consensus actually on the size of the digital advertising ad fraud, and perhaps there never can be. An e-marketer survey way back early year before last, if I remember correctly, it pegged the ad fraud guesstimates then between $6.5 billion, that was the low, and as high as $19 billion. So that vast range actually proves how difficult it is to put your finger on the correct extent of ad fraud. But I'm still tempted to ask you, Sunny, because of the kind of expert you are, what is the ad fraud number you think is a fairly accurate one about the extent of ad fraud that's happening in India or globally?
I may not be able to give you a number. I think it's quite significant, is what I can say. I think globally the numbers are in 10 billion plus. Also, if you evaluate why such ranges come into effect, such wide ranges from 6.5 to 19 billion, is because the people are using different methods to measure ad fraud and ad wastage. And some okay. are only calculating ad waste as the cost of infrastructure. You know, a bid call comes in and they refuse. I mean, you understand the concept of ad waste. So some people use it as an infrastructure cost. Some people are actually seeing it as dollars spent, but spent on inventory which was void and which was generated by some bots or incent users. So, you know, people are seeing ad fraud in different lights, are seeing these wastage, and this figure amasses through various, you know, different means of calculations. If you look at the ecosystem, you know, if you look at beyond the top 20 players or top 30 players in any industry, or if you look at the client's objectives below the bottom funnel, right? These are being serviced by long tail inventories, most of them, right? Okay. And most of the fraud is coming through this. So performance, when we talk about performance, the, you know, if you look at the trading agreements, when performance advertising is done, it is done mostly on a blind network. So transparency goes, right? The players try to arbitrage cost of inventory to generating or delivering certain KPIs and making gross margins there. Now, when these methods exist in the market, it will be very difficult to sort of control ad fraud or, you know, such practices, because the custodians of this inventory themselves, these third-party traders, you know, some are ad networks as well, are actually trading on business models which are non-transparent. As I mentioned in the beginning, unless there is transparency, we will not be able to get over this. Which is where I think it is extremely essential to sort of, you know, look at it more holistically and consider all aspects of ad fraud, ad waste together, but deal with them separately because they're different client items. India could be about 30% to 40% of the advertising industry. I mean, they peg industry at 3 billion. It could be, you know, from that point, it could be half a billion kind of ad fraud happening every year.
Oh boy. Okay, Sunny, from the dark and seamy world of ad fraud, let's move to the brighter and positive side of achievements and rankings in India. Where does HTT Pool see itself in this not very crowded space? I mean, if you look at the large ones, there are very few. How many large ad networks or exchanges or, you know, entities of your ilk and size are there in India? What is the number like, and where does HTT Pool stand?
So there are many ad networks now. I think ad networks has become a very broad term. Earlier, it was mostly tech-enabled players who were aggregating inventory and providing it to the advertisers. Then they became sort of focused towards either the demand side or the supply side, and DSPs and SSPs came into effect. And then right. there were exchanges who were bringing everyone together, DSPs, SSPs, direct publishers, direct advertisers, ad networks, everyone started trading. So now the term ad network has a very diluted meaning. So we moved away from ad network position to calling ourselves global partners of global media platforms. And therefore, although the business model is quite similar to an ad network where we are partnering with supply and providing it to demand or vice versa, we sort of detach ourselves from a traditional ad network definition. Having said that, even if you consider that, we are now by far the largest player in the world, in Asia and in India as well, for a couple of years now, globally, and especially after the corporate surgery we had in 2017.
That's truly wonderful, really. Congratulations, Sunny. And you don't have to confirm or deny this, but I know from very, very well-placed sources that HTT Pool is on the threshold of, is poised to cross $1 billion in revenue. So congratulations.
You are tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla, and with me today is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director, HTT Pool Asia Pacific. We'll take a short break and come back very quickly. Stay tuned.
This episode of The Master's Voice is brought to you in association with Republic Bangla, the new Bangla television news channel launched by Republic Media Network.
And we are back. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla on The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. With me is Sunny Nagpal, founder and managing director of HTT Pool Asia Pacific. So, Sunny, let's now talk about something which is threatening a large number of digital marketers, which is, you will recall, Apple and Safari declared war a couple of years ago on third-party cookies from players like Facebook and so many others, you know, which want to keep tracking you assiduously, your every little footprint, footstep on the internet. And Google too was therefore forced to declare that it would also go the first-party cookies only permitted path. So what does the digital marketer of today have to do, Sunny, apart from ensuring that he or she will, you know, get aggressive about farming first-party opted-in users? What is the way ahead on this for digital marketers?
I think if you look at the origin of this issue, you know, there are a couple of aspects. One, if you look at the cookie technology, it's a redundant technology, right? It's a decades-old technology, and we still continue to use cookies for tracking purposes because the entire infrastructure and practices have been built upon that. The other major issue that is coming along is the data privacy issue. And most of the governments are tightening their nose on all the large platforms for citizens who are sharing their data online through various platforms to not get exploited. And you would have seen a lot of controversy come to some of the largest global media platforms in the past as well. So privacy is one of the points. Protection is the other part that all the large responsible platforms are taking, and therefore they are sort of restricting the use of second levels of cookies, etc., and trying to work only with first party data, which gives more control. Even for a brand manager or a marketer or a brand itself, it becomes much more safer a proposition to use identified cookie data. It will also sort of minimize the ad fraud and ad waste that we were talking about in the past, because with mapped out data, you're also advertising on the most relevant data. It is going to improve the efficiency as well. And over a period of time, the brands would want to sort of move towards utilizing only the identified mapped cookies for that perspective.
So Sunny, as a respected digital marketing expert, what are the important and perhaps newer aspects of digital marketing that you would advise our younger digital marketing professionals to focus a lot more on today? I mean, beyond the cliché digital offering of a typical small setup that says, I'll manage your social media handles and do one post a day on each of them, or do some SEO, what are the important, beyond just emerging, new focus areas that you would point digital marketers to, like voice SEO and others?
So voice is picking up quite significantly now that you mentioned of it, going by the trends, and it's going to be not in future, but probably now in next few months, probably voice is going to start picking up quite aggressively. But what the future looks like is that the attribute that of digital advertising, that everything is measurable, is actually leading the brands to plan in a very predictive manner. Because now you can, so for me, it's going to be the advent of predictive marketing that's going to take precedence very shortly. The kind of data that you've been exposed to, right, and consumption journey has been tracked, brands will very easily be able to sort of identify when to advertise what. So if I have to look ahead a little bit in time, it's going to be very extensively AI backed, it's going to be very extensively data oriented, and it's going to lead to models which formulate more about predictive advertising. And the consumption of digital media is going to go beyond the screens. So there will be more touch points for the brands to be able to engage. And we were very sort of very non-conventional, but at the same time non-intrusive and seamless way to engage with their target audience and digital is going to be at the center of everything, of all communication. So the convergence is likely to happen, is going to happen for all media through some digital aspect, and which is where I think the future is heading. If somebody wants to take up digital advertising, they should start brushing up their data and analytical skills as well simultaneously.
Absolutely. Sunny, HTT Pool has empowered the campaigns of multiple brands through smart, strong and impactful plans. Pick, let's say, three of your personal favorite, most memorably impactful deliveries.
There are quite a few, in fact. It'd be unfair for me to name. I can narrate an incident, though, which was sort of securing a campaign. You know, back then we started HTT Pool in 2010. I was the only guy, you know, who was sort of selling the proposition to the clients, coming back, you know, setting the campaigns and then reporting and then also providing invoices, right? For the first few months, I was the only one. I remember this first particular case where GroupM had to issue an IO for one of the largest telcos. And GroupM had a very peculiar way of only faxing IOs back then. And okay. I was working from home. I did not have a fax. I don't know how many people have fax at homes. And it was rains, and you know how it rains in Bombay. And I had to sort of rush to a PCO shop. I gave that fax number. And our friend at GroupM took out to fax me. And I waited 3.5-4 hours in the rain there to get the first IO. So, you know, that's the one that is extremely special to me. And if somebody asks about any campaign or adding value, I think securing that business to be able to execute the campaign has been the most tier one for me. Besides that, we worked with, you know, some of the largest clients across all industries. And, you know, we worked, and I'm not authorized to sort of name the clients, but again, talking about, you know, some of the telco clients, we have done some exceptionally good work when the VAS propositions were quite out. They wanted to sort of promote their VAS packages, ringtones, wallpapers, etc. And we were one of the first to be able to identify the IPs they should use to target those campaigns. I'm talking about 2011-12, which would actually turn into 300% ROI value propositions for those telcos. So we brought about some very significant technology changes, identification of IPs to target, and we got the ROI in excess of 300% for this large telco. And then we've also supported a lot of tourism boards across the globe in helping them reach out to all travel destinations across the world. We have an advantage of geography, of local presence in 45 countries. We know top sites, relevant ones across all channels and industries in these sites, and we were able to recommend these tourism boards what website to advertise upon at what time with what ad formats. And again, you know, introduction of technology, chatbots, etc., we got exceptionally good results. Like one of the tourism board from the year before to this, to the year that they partnered with us, they got close to 3000x ROI then.
Wow. What did you do for them, Sunny?
We introduced some chatbots, we introduced some very relevant travel sites, we did the data mapping for them, audience mapping for them, and we followed the user with some very unique messaging. We took over the creative also in this case. And, you know, I mean, it was close to a $10 million campaign, but it ran exceptionally well.
Wonderful.
You're tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series on MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla, and with me today is Sunny Nagpal, Founder and Managing Director, HTT Pool Asia Pacific. We'll take a short break and come back very quickly. Stay tuned.
This episode of The Master's Voice is brought to you in association with Republic Bangla, the new Bangla television news channel launched by Republic Media Network.
And we are back. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla on The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. With me is Sunny Nagpal, Founder and Managing Director of HTT Pool Asia Pacific. So, Sunny,
you're also passionate about, and I don't use that word loosely,
about helping youngsters learn about digital marketing. HT Tool has something of an online digital university, if I may, you know, like a large repository of training programs that aspiring and practicing digital marketers can take and self-certify themselves. It's a lovely way to not just genuinely give back to the professional space, but also embed yourselves in the minds of those who take your free courses. After all, they're all professionals in the space. I believe more than 60,000 individuals have actually benefited from these certifications from HTT Pool's pool of programs, training programs on digital marketing. That's really laudable. Tell us about this, please.
Exactly. I mean, we always believed within the organization also about being properly informed, well-educated about the platforms we're representing, and not just the platforms we're representing, but as such about the industry. So we have been ourselves following a very meticulous regime to ensure that we are on top of the knowledge, product knowledge, and best practices, because that's what we advocate. And in doing so, we also realize that it is essential that unless we provide that knowledge on a platter for every curious person, every aspiring media planner who is looking forward to utilizing digital media platforms, we are not actually doing our job properly, or not giving it back to the industry or creating that ecosystem. Right. So we created an online education platform in partnership with all the platforms that we represent. We created education material, courses, thousands of case studies which are actually published and authorized, that the users can learn from and read from and then get certified. So until now, we have certified close to 60,000 people across Latin America, Europe and Asia. We recently launched a plan in India also. It's totally free of cost. This is our contribution. We've been doing dedicated effort to build this platform. It's a self-serve module. We would love people to use it and become experts in doing so. They're only going to help the ecosystem, and with an improving ecosystem, we will be the most benefited ones also. So, yeah.
Excellent. And what are the kind of digital marketing courses that HTT Pool offers to anyone who wants to come and take them, self-certify themselves?
We have courses for Twitter, for TripAdvisor, for Facebook. We have courses for all large platforms, and these are basic understanding to advanced, supported by all the case studies. I mean, if you look at the concentration, it is between these top players, and major advertising opportunities are between these large platforms. And some of them are available in India, some of them are not. We even have advertising platforms like TripAdvisor. Very few people in India use TripAdvisor for advertising on them, and most of the planners don't even know how to utilize them. They work through third-party partners. So for us, it is sort of creating that infrastructure where all information becomes seamless and people are able to pick and choose and identify and then utilize the platforms to the fullest. And the fundamentals on most platforms are quite standard, and it is more about getting into the specifics, because each of the platforms have audiences interacting with the platform in a specific manner, and therefore the engagement with those audiences should be done keeping in mind the sentiment of the platform. And that's where the ad formats and all other things are identified and developed, and ad servers work in tandem with that. So we have both the broad aspects covered as well as the specific ones, so that a person who is taking one course also starts understanding digital marketing as a concept fundamentally also.
That's really praiseworthy, Sunny. There are two other things I'd like you to shed some light on. One is the manner in which HTT Pool's been working with the B2B segment, empowering it and also deploying great technology to help it get better and to grow. And the second is about how you, that is HTT Pool, looked after your employees and talent during the terrible COVID challenges that the entire industry was confronted with. Go with the B2B question first.
Absolutely. I mean, we have been, B2B segment is going to be the next wave of growth for all large platforms across the globe. They've been now looking at digital advertising, and especially after COVID, because it is the most ROI friendly, as well as allows them to reach their users in the most seamless manner. But the challenge where it is a mom and pop shop would not like to see a lot of metrics, would not like to see all that can be done on a platform, but would want to only look at the platform from the most direct response perspective. So we are now, and that direct response has to be in correlation to their business objectives. So we are now developing a platform which is completely intuitive, driven by AI. Simplifies all platforms, major large platforms, to be able to advertise on them. So for example, you know, just to give you a high level sense on how this would work, as an SMB, if I log on to our platform, it will prompt you with questions asking about your business objective, your industry, you know, your type of customers and your marketing initiatives, and it will then automatically start proposing the kind of media channels that they should look at, the type of campaigns they should set, the ad formats that they should use. And when selecting the various ad formats, it will give you best practices on copy, on images, and then automatically, once you upload them, it's going to create ads, create permutations, and then choose targeting and publish the campaigns for you. So, and it will also in auto mode, you know, optimize the campaigns also driven by algorithms, and provide you reporting of the data that is relevant to you, not, you know, the metrics that more advanced advertising brands are used to. So it's going to be very specific data that makes sense to your business, so that you can then decide whether to continue or stop at the platform or move the channel. While such recommendations will keep coming from the platform also. So we are anticipating to launch something like that, and it's going to be a global launch, which will also be coming to Indian nation markets as well.
That's really good. So Sunny, let's go to my second question, the one I asked you about how HTT Pool looked after all its human resources, its most precious asset, during the COVID challenge.
So, I mean, we really value people. They are the biggest asset that we have. I personally spoke to everyone in the team across 8 markets that I'm managing to understand and assure them that we will be by them for any eventuality, and that they can feel secured about the entire situation. So for us, I think even before motivating them, the first thing was to sort of settle them and ensure that they feel comfortable about everything, and that we are by them for any eventuality. And then going forward, we sort of also assured them that there are going to be no salary cuts and there are going to be no layoffs. We also adjusted our business goals and the expectations with all the employees. So it sort of, you know, really helped. And it was, you know, in terms of how our people responded to us, we had a turnaround as early as May, where most businesses are still struggling. We could turn around by early June, end of May.
Excellent, Sunny. So what are your plans going ahead?
So we are now looking at expanding extensively across all the regions and develop all the segments of our business. We believe, you know, PR marketing and communications are one of the key components of driving growth of our business across not just India, but all the Asian markets where we are significantly growing. Therefore, I think the role of Rucha becomes extremely essential, because like you said in the beginning, we've been doing a great job, but we've been somehow lying under the radar and not being so visible. I think it is our time, and that we start talking about the great work that we've been doing, the times that we have stood over last decade in Asia and 2 decades across the world. We are perhaps the oldest such company in the world. At least we are now the largest, that I can assure you. And Rucha's role become extremely, extremely essential in our scheme of things as well.
Wonderful. And I'm sure that under your leadership, Sunny, HTT Pool will scale ever greater heights. And I'm equally sure that Rucha will really help you take the excellent stories of HTT Pool's success to everyone and beyond. So more strength to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Omar.
You're most welcome, Sunny. Thank you very much indeed for all the time and the wonderful insights and inspiration
that you shared in this episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. I'm sure your thoughts will inspire and empower digital marketing professionals across levels, from the freshers all the way up to your peers too, and others. Thanks for adding so much value to The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. I hope you enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much, Pawan, for having me here on The Master's Voice. We feel really responsible during these times of COVID, as advertising is one of the largest demand generating channels, right? And yeah. I think to be able to advocate some of the best practices and encourage people to advertise, I believe we are going to add a lot of value to the macroeconomics of our country. The more people advertise, the more there will be demand, and the more, you know, healing of the economy will happen.
Sunny Nagpal, co-founder NMD APAC of HTT Pool, a remarkable digital growth specialist who brings an innovative approach to product development and brand positioning, and is considered a trusted authority and leader in digital advertising across the Asia-Pacific region. My special guest in this episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com. Till we meet again on the next episode of The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com, this is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla saying, stay safe, take care, bye-bye. We'll be right back.